We have several visitors today. I want you to know that I'm sick and this is not how I usually sound. It's very similar to this. Very similar to this. But a little bit. You're going to come back next week and be like, I thought, is he still sick? No, probably not. He still sounds the same. If anybody has a Z-Pack on them, that'd be great. Hopefully with most of it unused. New one. I cannot wait to hear the stories all of you have from spending time with your family this week. Your family's great, I know. I know your family's fantastic, and you're so happy you're coming in, and you're so happy to go to them. But there's going to be stories. There's going to be tales of uncomfortable conversations and frustrating uncles. And there's people you prep your kids, be like, listen, I know you're really into this topic. Do not talk to Uncle Dave about Star Wars. He's a Star Trek guy, he gets mad. And you're just going to have, can you stay away from it, back at it? I'm not going to get involved in those conversations. So we're going to talk about football, and we're gonna start to eat, and there's always going to be that one person who said, before we eat, because it's always at 4 o'clock reading lunch on Thanksgiving. Before we eat, let's go around the table and say what we're thankful for. And you hear the...
Well, I guess my family.
That's sort of...
I don't know. Shot a buck last week.
Just be uncomfortable. That's what it is, though. You know, there's just a... There's just broken people dealing with broken people. Right? I mean, you're not perfect either. And there's a good chance someone in your family is prepping their kids about what to say to you. Don't bring it up. We can talk about it on the way there, but not on the way back. Do not bring it up at that table. So that's what we all are, is just brokenness dealing with brokenness. Brokenness around me and brokenness inside me. You know, I look at the world, especially right now around Thanksgiving and the holidays, and you can see joy, but you can also see tears. See pain. Where people for the first time, or for the second time, or for the third time, and it just never gets easier, are spending a time without someone that they would rather spend with someone. It's not just our little nuances that are broken about us. It's not just our little peculiarities. It's death and pain and suffering. So you can get rid of all the quirks of people, but we would still have loneliness, we'd still have hunger, we'd still have sickness and illness and homelessness, and we would still have people who are suffering from actual illness and mental illness. It just on and on it goes, and there's just brokenness around me and brokenness inside. And it's the broken dealing with the broken. God recognizes that. God tells John, I know the beasts that roam in your country. And I know the dragon that controls those beasts. God knows what's going on in our world and in your world. And knows that what has become normal to us not the way God envisioned it. have a hope for things. We have a hope for community. We have a hope for getting along. We have a hope, a way we imagine Thanksgiving going. This is the way it is doing weddings, as a minister. I've had a couple, not a lot. I've done a lot of weddings. Most people who ask me to do their wedding know me well enough that to know it's not going to be perfect. And that I actually enjoy when it's not. I actually enjoy when, I don't know, there's always something. But I've had a couple of marriages that I was working through and doing premarital counseling with, and they would say, "Oh, it's just going to be a perfect day." Oh dear. I quit. Because if that's your expectation, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. Perfection just isn't attainable. I mean, it's brokenness around us and brokenness within us. It's us dealing with difficult things and not dealing with them well. Not having insight enough to see how we're functioning. We are blind. We get worse just when we're hungry. We're still in that way, infants. God said, "I know how broken it is." And then he paints a picture about a day when the fullness of God shows up in the world. He phrases it, and I think it's worth reading again. John says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more." That doesn't mean a lot to you, but to a first century person, the idea of, really any ancient person, the idea of the sea is this mysterious brokenness that exists in the world. This mysterious evil. Every time Jesus calls a storm, every gospel writer puts Jesus calling the storm right before Jesus heals a demon-possessed man. They associated evil with the waters. That's why when Jesus is walking on the waters, they're terrified. And also, that's crazy, and they didn't know how to process it. Amen. And so Jesus walked on the water, and they say, "It's a demon, it's a ghost." Peter walks on the water, and the waves scared him more than Jesus and how. We can go all the way back to the beginning, where God is speaking light into darkness and organizing the sea. But for them, darkness and sea were just two things just that meant evil and chaos. And so when John here says the sea was no more, what he's saying is all that's broken and painful in the world, all that's scary out there, is no longer out there. There will be no more sea. "And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice saying from the throne, 'See, the throne of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them.'" This presence of God is what we've been hoping for. It's what we hope for whenever we try to plan a perfect wedding, a perfect Thanksgiving dinner, or like have a perfect day, or have a perfect talk. But when we have some aspiration about what the world should be, the world with God in it is that world. It's the new heaven and the new earth making itself known. It's restoring what we have and what we've been missing. And then he says, God will be, he says, God will be with them. They will be his people. He will be their God. He will be with them. And he will wipe every tear from their eye. I don't know what has caused me more grief in my life. The brokenness around me or the brokenness around me. Tears come. People do things that hurt us, and we do things that hurt people, and we do things that hurt us. We live and exist in a space where God is present and God is doing good things, but the tears show up regularly anyway. Here comes God's thumb, touching my face gently, and wiping away the results of the brokenness around me and the brokenness within me. I don't care that the streets are gold. I don't care if the gates have pearls. I don't care about a large town in the center of the city that has chocolate in the water. Wait, that's Willy Wonka. Not Revelation. One would be forgiven for getting those two confused. I don't care about this. What does the city look like? Going on around me. He's not just going to fix the world around me. I get to see clearly for the first time. Because a lot of times it's the tears of pain that blur the vision of the present. When God wipes the tears from our eyes, it's not just pain that he's removing, but it's the blurred vision of our brokenness. So there is coming a day where we will be renewed like that, redeemed like that. And what that means is, there's two things. We could say, here, God is going, well, there's no crying in heaven. Like Tom Hanks yelling at him. Female baseball player. If you don't get that reference, that's fine. Some people did, and then it's for them. So, there are no signs in heaven that have a tear on it, and it's circled, and there's a line on it. The reason there are no tears in heaven is because God is redeeming them, taking care of them. It's not against the rules. But we have a God who understands our tears, understands our pain, understands our brokenness, and will show up. God will show up to wipe those tears away. Not yet. Right? Not yet fully. But you can be somebody's already. You can be the presence of God in somebody's life. The presence of God in somebody's life. And when you aren't shaming them for their tears, shaming them for their blurred vision, but you are lovingly just there for them. The kingdom of God has shown up. sometimes by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, when we walk into a room, the city comes down. The earth. The kingdom of God shows up in those places. Not fully. Not yet. Maybe a little bit already. When we are kind to people, and loving to people, and fellowship with people, and communion with people, as Lance so said so well earlier. When we are back in the world, maybe they can already feel the power of God clearing their vision just a little bit. Maybe they can already feel the presence of God, understanding and not shaming them, but loving them as they cry. While there's still brokenness in me and brokenness around me, there's power in the Spirit of God to lead us to what we are called to be in this world. Which is a group of people, diverse and different from one another, but united because we all serve the same King. He died on the cross, he rose from the grave, he sits on the throne, and someday his kingdom will come full and that God created the heavens and the earth, Spirit hovered over the waters, the word spoken into existence, the light that came into the darkness, the land separated the waters, the God who walked on the waters and calmed the storm. That God will come to us and meet us in his home and wipe away our tears. And for the first time, the brokenness around us will be set right. And the brokenness within us will now be able to see clearly. The hope we have there. And that God, not just a God who parts the water so that we can walk through, but a God who stepped into the waters and let them wash over him and can now stand tall. The waters of death crushed Jesus and he stood back. Because of this sacrifice, because of his power, because of his great resurrection, because of his kingship, we will be with God.
And through his Spirit, the people around us can catch
glimpses of that. Not fully yet. They can catch glimpses of it already. There is coming a day when this happens all at once. And you will see clearly about maybe what was broken inside of you, and you will not feel shame for it, because God who created you lovingly helped you get there. So maybe this week, you might need to sit in the presence of God and let God clear your vision just a little bit. You might sit in the presence of God and feel the love that God shows. I'd like to put in a commercial for our spiritual directors in the room. We have several. And Lance can kind of point you to those who kind of help you with that. If that's something you're wanting to invest time in, it's to sit and look at how we look at God. And be guided in that. It's very beneficial. But no matter how you envision God, God sees you clearly and loves you clearly. Thank you. prepared today for the brokenness around us and the brokenness within us will be overturned, will be destroyed. May we meet that day for us this week. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we need your presence. We need your love in this place. We know you fill us with your love and spirit. God, help us to be just as good as giving for what you give us as you are as giving us. Help us to love like you love. Forgive like you forgive. God, help us be your people in this world. I am so thankful for your Son, for your willingness to come to earth. So thankful for your Spirit that moves us. God, whatever brokenness seems to overwhelm us, may we hope. Hope for the day when you come fully. You arrive in this place. Your Son's holy name is.